Well, 7 years ago, I had the privilege of watching the Kimyal tribe in Indonesia gather next to a makeshift airstrip, waiting for a two-seater propeller plane to land. And as the tiny plane found its way down onto the ground safely, people danced and people sang and people wept. Some people even got down on their knees and prayed. And a pilot emerged from the plane and handed one of the men, the chief of the tribe, a small box. And inside that box, well, it wasn't medicine that would cure one of the many epidemics ravaging that nation. It wasn't food to tackle the poverty that 40% of the people in that part of the world experience. There were no toys in that box, though toys would be few and far between in that part of the world. What was in that box was a Bible, the first Bible ever in their native tongue. So precious that all of the other things that they could have had faded into insignificance that day. We have such easy access to the Bible in our churches, in our homes, on our phones. It's easy to forget just how precious what we hold in our hands is. And the psalm before us helps us to understand just why that is. This psalm, Psalm 19, explains that God has revealed himself both in his world and in his word. The first few verses explain that God's revealed himself in his word. Verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And yet the problem is that people can deny what God has revealed in his word. People can, in his world, people can deny that. You see in verse 3, it says, there is no speech, no language, their voice is not heard. People can deny that what we see from the world really tells us about God. And so God has not left us guessing. He has given us his word, his special revelation about himself. And you'll see these verses both on your sheet and in page 390 of the Bible. So you look down at verse 7 and you see all of these different words that point us to the scriptures, the word of God. Verse 7, it says, the law. It says a little bit later on, the statutes in verse 7. Verse 8 says, the precepts of the Lord are right. Verse 8 again, it says, the commands of the Lord. Verse 9, if you're still with me, says, the ordinances of the Lord. All different ways of talking about God's word, the scriptures. And check out what this word can do as you look down at verse 10. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. There's an American pastor called John Piper. He says, if you've got to choose between the word of God and gold, choose the word of God. This time last year, David Beckham, more money than sense, I say, decided to gold plate his laptop and put a picture of it on Instagram. But that's what he did. But verse 10 says, if you've got to choose between the word of God and much gold, or an Amazon Echo Dot, or a Fire Stick, or Pink's latest CD, or Assassin's Creed, the video game, or whatever it is on your wish list this year, choose the word of God. I just want us to look at three very quick reasons for why that is. The first reason is that the Bible gives us life. Stick with me. We're in verse 7. I want to ask for your help here as I read from verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Next word. Yeah, depending on where you're reading from, we've got refreshing and reviving. This word in the Hebrew means to turn around. It's saying that the word turns around, brings back to life our very soul. I'm a huge fan of the BBC TV series Casualty. Hands up if you're a fan of this. Brilliant. There are now two people in the Commission Network who like Casualty. You've made my day. But you know how it is. If you watch these medical dramas, you get the paddles, the ECG machine, the line goes flat, and someone has to put the paddles on the chest, and they go bang, and suddenly you get a pulse again. And this is saying that God's word does that spiritually in us. It brings us life. And there may be some here who can remember a time where you were dead to the things of Jesus. It was like water off a duck's back to you. And then you found yourself drawn to Jesus, wanting to listen to Jesus. And it was the Spirit of Jesus Christ that did that through the Bible, because it is the Bible that brings our souls to life. And sometimes when the ECD trace begins to show a sign, people need life support, don't they, to keep going. In fact, I've been in and out of ITU this Christmas with someone at our church who was just going through that, needed this life support. And the Word of God is like a spiritual life support system for us. It keeps us alive spiritually, keeps us turning back to God. As people send you a text message to encourage you about Jesus, as you get more about Jesus in your Bible study week by week, as something amazes you about Jesus Sunday by Sunday, God continues this work of keeping us alive spiritually. Do you want life this year? You need the Word of God. That's the first thing. The Bible brings us life. The second is that the Bible gives us wisdom. Have a look down at verse 7 again. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, doing what? Making wise the simple. The Bible gives us wisdom. Okay? Now let me summarize Bible wisdom for you into one sentence. Bible wisdom summarized into one sentence is this: seek first Jesus Christ. You want to summarize everything the Bible says? It's wisdom. It's the most important thing we can do is put Jesus Christ first. And look at the effect of this wisdom on our lives as you go down to verse 11. It says, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. By putting Jesus first in your life, what you're doing is like driving on the left-hand side of the road. It's like driving on the left-hand side of the road. It's the way things were meant to be. And in the end, it's the only safe way to live. It's wise. And in life, we need this, don't we? Because we come to crossroads all the time. We come to crossroads all the time in our lives, don't we? Should we take this job opportunity? Or should we stay where we are? Should I donate some time to this worthy cause? Or this one? Which club should I let my son join up this year? How do I do life when getting out of bed just feels like climbing a mountain? And when we give the Word of God the degree of importance that it deserves in our lives, then all our thoughts, all our decisions, all our activities become shaped by God's wisdom. This desire to put Jesus first. That's true wisdom, to put Jesus above everything else. And the Word of God, it may not say to us, take this job, but it will make us ask, how will this help me to serve Jesus during the week? Easier or harder? It may not say, this is what you should give time to, but it will help me be thinking, how will this help me to make Jesus known? It may not tell me which club my son should go to, but it will get me thinking, will this help him to hear about Jesus? Is it going to get him playing football every Sunday so he can never come to church? Or is he going to be tired because he's exhausted and so can't live like Jesus? The Bible gives us wisdom. Helps us to think, do our decisions put Jesus before everything else? And more and more, as the Bible changes us, as we make these everyday decisions, it helps us to put Jesus first in the big things and in the small things. In the small things, like when do I turn the TV off and where do I spend my money and what do I talk about in my conversations, helps us to put Jesus first. Not because we have to, but because we realize it's wise, like driving on the left-hand side of the road. It's the way things were meant to be. And in the end, the only safe way to live. Do you want wisdom? Do you want to live in the light of reality? You need the Word of God. The Bible brings us life. The Bible gives us wisdom. Thirdly, the The Bible, the scriptures, they give us joy. Verse 8, that the precepts of the Lord are right, doing what? Giving joy to the heart. Because the words of the Bible introduce us to the person who perfectly fulfills them, who actually stuck to God's roadmap. They introduce us to Jesus, who saves all of those who turn to him. About 20 years ago now, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. About 20 years ago now, someone took the Bible and read it with me, and it brought life to me. I was dead to the things of Jesus, and suddenly I became alive to them. And that very same guy a few years ago donated one of his kidneys to someone he'd never met before. It's an amazing thing to do. And obviously, one of the reasons he did that was because he had two, this person didn't have any, and they needed a kidney, so he donated a kidney to them. But there's a deeper reason why he would do something like that, and it was because he was following the example of his Saviour. Incredibly, unlike my friend who donated a kidney to someone he'd never met, Jesus Christ gave his life for us. He knew us. He knew that we ignored him. He knew that we deserved nothing but death and hell. And yet he didn't just give a kidney. He swapped his perfect life for our appalling life. He gives us his report card so that we can credit his. And that transformed my friend so much that he could give away parts of his own body with a smile on his face as he followed in the footsteps of his Saviour. For every one of us here, I can guarantee in your Christian life, you will have times when you look back on the year and think, I can't see how it could get any worse. It will happen for all of us at some point. And yet there's something about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ that means even in those years where we think things could not get any worse, we can, in our hearts, hold our heads up high and say, God the Father loves me. God the Son died for me. God the Spirit lives in me. I'm on my way to glory, and all things work together for the good of those who love his Son. And we can have joy in our hearts. Do you want joy this year? If you do, then you need the Word of God. Well, look, what does this mean for our year ahead? Well, God says time and time again in his word, he says, taste my words. Taste them. Taste and see that they are good. Don't just know them in your head, but experience them in your heart. And as you look at verse 10 again, it moves us towards this experience. Verse 10 says, His words are more precious than gold, they more precious than much pure gold, they are sweeter than honey from the comb. Don't just know the rewards that his word brings, but take the lid off and experience its sweetness. And that's our prayer really this year, is that you wouldn't just know that the Bible is good, but you day by day unscrew the lid and experience its sweetness. Taste it even more. There'll be some here who read the Bible every day. Praise God. There'll be others who access the Bible week by week here on a Sunday and in your midweek groups. Praise God for that. Maybe there are others who your main time accessing God's word is just when you come here on a Sunday. That it'll be different for each of us. And I want to praise God for every time we hear and access God's word, we hear him speak. But can I ask you, what would it look like this year for you to take another step to taste the sweetness of God's word in the year ahead? Would it mean that you say, I'm going to get here every week, bar emergencies, I'm going to be here to hear, to taste God's word? Might it be that you say, I'm going to make sure I read the Bible passage before I come to church so that I can get more out of God's word? Might it be, I'm going to make sure I do attend a midweek group? I haven't before, but I'm going to do that. Maybe it's finding some Bible reading notes that are going to help you to engage with God's word day by day. Maybe you've never really thought about memorizing the scriptures. Maybe this is the year you say, do you know what, I'm going to take a psalm. Psalm 27, I'm going to memorize that this year. What would it be for you, where you are now, to take a step, another step, in experiencing and going deeper with God's word? I want you just to take a minute now to think, and maybe to just begin to make a resolution in your own mind. And my challenge to you today, before you leave, is to tell someone what that resolution is. How are you going to go deeper with God's word this year? Just take a moment to think about that. For me, it is going to be trying to memorize a bit of the Bible. So if you see me again, then I challenge you to ask me. I need your help as much as you need one another's help. So if you see me at any point this year, I challenge you to ask me, how far have you got, Jason, in memorizing Psalm 27? Will you do that for me? We have such easy access to the Bible. In our churches, in our homes, through our phones. And it is easy to forget just how precious what we hold in our hands is. And yet we've seen the Bible brings us life. The Bible brings us wisdom. And the Bible brings us joy. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we praise you for these awesome truths we've skated over the surface of this Sunday morning. How we long for the daily revival that your word promises in our hearts. How we thank you for the fact that you have opened our eyes to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ day by day. How we long that this year our decisions might be shaped by the wisdom of your word. That we would know what it looks like to put Jesus first in every decision that we have to make this year. And how we long, Heavenly Father, in the ups and downs of life, and there will be downs, that we might be able to know in our heart the joy that your word promises. So like the Apostle Paul, we might be able to say that even when we're sorrowful, we're always rejoicing. And so, Father, we thank you and ask again that the words of our mouths and the meditation of all of our hearts might be pleasing in your sight. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.